Glory to God. Well, the Lord is good, isn't he? His mercy endures forever. So good to see everybody. I believe we're going to be with you a few more times this summer from the schedule that I received. So looking forward to that. We always enjoy coming over here and sharing the Word of God. And I'm not doing text. I'm finding I got a scripture I'm going to read there later. Sharing the Word of God and looking at the goodness of God. Amen. I like that song. I like all the songs we sang, but that His love never fails, never gives up. It's never going to run out on you. Isn't that good news? I don't know. Again, like Brother Greg said, we all have a story. Maybe part of your story is somebody ran out on you. But I'm going to tell you, I'm here to tell you right now, God's never going to run out on you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Glory to God. Doesn't matter how hard it gets, He's not going to take off running. You can't scare God. Amen. You know, your situation is not going to cause God to start, you know, nibbling on his fingernails. He's not going to do it. He's all right. Praise the Lord. I know I was looking at, in fact, I might have written it in my Bible, looking at some things one time from the Word of God and going through here It just hit me that God's not afraid. This isn't my sermon tonight, but I might just preach you a little bit of it, if that's all right. You know, when he sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee and the storms came up, the wind, the waves, you know, I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus isn't afraid of the storms in your life. He's not afraid. Amen. You remember the woman that he met at the well? She had a past, didn't he? How many of you know Jesus isn't afraid of your past? When they went to feed 5,000 people, they said, well, you know, what do we do? Jesus isn't afraid of your lack of supply. Amen. That's good preaching. All right, I'm going to move on because I'll get to going on that. And that's not what my intent was. But it is good to just encourage ourselves in the Lord constantly with how good God is to us. Amen. He's good and his mercy endures forever. And I just thank God for it. Praise the Lord. Well, if you do have your Bible tonight, I want you to open up to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I want to look at a characteristic and aspect of God's nature tonight. And something that the Word of God tells us over and over again. Yet, I think sometimes we forget. I know I was just minding my own business just the other day looking at this, and I think I even said something to Amanda about it. You know, if this is true, then what are we doing wondering if God is going to come through in these areas? Amen. So I want us to look at that tonight. And here in James chapter 1, of course, verse 5, let's read that. I'm going to read from the King James Bible, but I may take these and thous out if they're there, okay? If any of you, that doesn't leave anybody out, does it? If I said in this room, if any of you, would that leave you out? No, that would be all of us. So he's talking to all of us. If any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Well, I want you to notice the way that verse and that sentence, if you will, is constructed. Just looking here. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And you could end that with, and it shall be given him. Did you notice that? And that would be a complete sentence, wouldn't it? I mean, without diagramming that sentence up here today, we don't want to do that. How many of you are glad we're not having an English class tonight, all right? Or grammar class or composition class. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. But James, remember, James grew up in, this is James, the brother of Jesus, who grew up with the same mother Jesus had, okay? He's the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. James, John's brother, has already been put to death by the time this comes along. But he wants us to know something about God. See, he could have just said it that way, but he adds something here that is so vitally important. All right? And notice this. This gives us an insight into the nature and the character of God that God gives to all. Everybody say all. Liberally. He gives to all liberally. Now, liberally means there's no end to what he has. Liberally means it's open-handed. In other words, here, come get what you want. Amen. I mean, have you ever gone somewhere and it was, you know, it's like the all you can eat buffet, right? You don't have to go, can I have, no, just come get it. That's what liberal means here in this, in the way it's used here. Who gives to all. Again, if any of you, that's all of us, right? So if any of us ask, guess what he wants us to know? God is an open-handed giver. God is a giver. And that's what we're looking at tonight. God's nature is to give. He is not the withholder. Well, now, sometimes God's answer is no. You know, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen. Now, if you get a no, it's because you're asking for something that doesn't belong to you. Now, how do I know if it belongs to me or not? I got to find out what the Bible has to say about it. Right? 1 John chapter 5, don't turn over there, but 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. Well, in order to get into that, I got to know what his will is. And thank God, most of us have, you know, we're so blessed in our country. We have many copies. And if you don't have it on in your lap right now, you probably got it on a device somewhere. You can look it up. We've got Bibles everywhere. All right, and so God has told us what his will is. And he says he hears us, and if he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we have desired of him. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 8. So God is a liberal giver. He's an open-handed free giver. That's what that also means. He freely gives. Now we didn't, and it said there, he upbraideth not. Well, what does that mean? God's not going to give you a lecture and say, why do you need this? I thought I already gave you that. How come you need this again? He doesn't give with condemnation. He doesn't give that way. He just gives. Amen. We'll see why. Why is God that way? Well, we're going to see that. We're looking at this part of his nature. And we're going to go through some of this in a couple of places in the Gospels and see Jesus tried to teach people this concept that God's a giver, that he's not the withholder. He is, the Bible says, one of his names in the Old Testament was El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. He wasn't El Cheapo, right? Like some folks want to believe that God's, you know, well, you know, I'd be blessed, but I'm serving God, you know, and because I'm serving God, that means, you know, I got to drive this old raggedy car, and I got to, you know, I can't have new this, I can't have new that, because after all, God hates it when I have things, and that's the way people have thought. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Right. All right? Now, you know, I think you can get your mind on things too much. Seek first the what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the what? The things are added. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:32. I'm going to jump right in the middle of this discourse here on the power of God's love. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, everybody say freely, give us all things? Now notice that. Freely give. Freely give. There's several words in the original language of the New Testament for give from the Greek language. And this one here is the word that's connected to grace. It's to give. That's why he said to freely give, because grace is free. It provides for it. But to freely give us with him. Well, we know this. We're in Christ. He died for us. When we made Jesus the Lord of our life, accepted what God has done, we're reconciled to God, we're made the righteousness of God in him. He's with us and we're with him. He says, with him shall freely give us all things. Okay? So now that tells me something else. And this has been something that I think, In teaching faith, thank God for the message of faith. A lot of us wouldn't even be here without the message of faith. How to believe God for what belongs to us and how to do that. However, if you're not careful, you can take faith and make it a way to earn something from God. And you cannot earn anything from God any more than you knowing how to properly fill out a check earns the money that you already have in the bank. You didn't earn the money. It was already there. Now, if you write a check and the money's not there, then we've got a whole other issue. That's a different thing there. But when you learn how to withdraw money from your account, you're not earning that money. It's already there. And so when we go to God, see, faith is the way we get what God has already provided for us. I always go back to Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. You see, faith is what receives what grace has already provided. So, but if we're not careful, you know, we break faith down in trying to teach it. And I think what happened was so many folks went out trying to teach faith that they thought they had to teach something new that someone else had never said before. And they just made up a lot of stuff about faith. All right. You know, let's be honest. And we're talking about, you know, the Rhema family here, basically, and some that did. But Brother Hagin never taught that. He never brought it from the standpoint of we're earning something. We're just receiving what God has already done. So freely give. He'll freely give. Now, we'll come back to that at the very end. And I want to look at it from another translation. But let's go over to, here's some scriptures I'm sure most of us are familiar with. Matthew chapter 7. Here's from the sermon, we call the Sermon on the Mount. Have any of you been to Israel? Been up there on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee where they believe this sermon was preached? Beautiful sight, looking down on the sea there. But here in Matthew 7, let's start in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Now notice, he didn't say it might be. He said it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone. Now here, notice this language again. Notice this inclusive language that God uses concerning receiving from him. If anyone lacks wisdom, who gives liberally to all. Here he says, for everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. What man is there among you, of you, whom if his son asks bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, would he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give, here again he's talking about giving, good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now here, notice here again, this is in response, as it was in James 1, you've gone to God, you've asked him for something. Now, we're not going to go there, but in James chapter 4, very first part, it talks about, he says, you have not because you ask not. Some folks, you know, and I think I would say this mentality was probably in the church that I grew up in. I joke about it. It wasn't a bad church, but, you know, it really didn't preach a whole lot of stuff. Sometimes I'll joke and say it was a no gospel church, you know, instead of a full gospel church. But I mean, but you know, we did say the Apostles' Creed every Sunday or the Nicene Creed, which those things are, you know, good biblically sounds. We sang a lot of good hymns and that type of stuff. And, you know, but it wasn't really heavy on preaching of the word, and that word was for us today. See, it wasn't really heavy. It wasn't any of that. But I think the idea in that church was kind of, and I know this growing up as a child in that church from 1965 to 1980, grew up in that church, and I got born again that summer of 1980, which was, yes, was yesterday the 30th? Yeah. Woohoo! That was my 38th birthday, 38 years ago, yesterday. Got born again. Hallelujah. I hadn't thought about that. That's great. For me, I don't know about if it's great for you or not, but it's great for me. I'm so happy about it. But I know growing up in that church that if your name ever got mentioned from the pulpit that we needed to pray for you, that meant you were going to die. Yeah. You know, as a little child, you know, you notice stuff like that. Now, that didn't mean they weren't saying prayer, but it's everybody that got on the prayer list died. You know, growing up as a little child, you hear those things, you think, you know, I made up my mind. I don't ever want them to call my name for prayer up there at that church. All right. But it was kind of that thing, well, you know, God knows what you need and he'll give you what he wants you to have. And he'll give you as much as he knows you can handle and all this kind of stuff. Because all things work together for the good of them that love God, you know. Gee whiz. Yes, they do, but not in that manner. All right. God can take any situation and turn it to our good. But here, this idea that God would give, and to ask God and expect God to do what you ask him, it's a great concept. And Jesus says he didn't apologize. He said, it shall be given to you. Look at John chapter 3. Now, we know this verse, but let's notice something in it that we don't magnify sometimes, and that's all right. There's so much good in this verse. But let's notice this. Why? Why does God give? What is it about God's nature that causes him to be a giver and to freely give? We're not paying for it. All right? You can't earn it. You can't make it yourself. He does it all. All he says is ask for it. What is it about his nature that makes that true? I think this verse, among many others, but this verse really gives us an insight. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Why did he give? Because he loved the world. Why does God give? Because he loves. He is love. He gives because he loves, you see. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God gives because God is love. I heard a minister, Dr. Ed Cole, who's gone home to be with the Lord, made this statement concerning love. I had never really heard this definition. I like it. It says, love desires to give at the benefit of itself. Love desires to give at the expense of itself, not the benefit of itself, at the expense of itself. In other words, when love looks at a situation, it doesn't even care what the expense is. It's going to meet the need. No matter what it costs me, I'm going to meet that need. Well, you know, if God, if he gave his Son to us, he gave Jesus the most valuable thing he has. Why would we think he's going to withhold anything? And we'll look at that in just a minute again. But God loves. John 15. Here again, just establish this aspect. So why is God a giver? Because he is love. Love always wants to give. Love always wants to leave the person in a better position than they were when it came in contact with it. Amen? We would all probably agree this, that we are definitely in a better position spiritually when we came in contact with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Is that true? When you got born again, your spiritual condition improved. You can't even put a percentage on it. You're totally changed. Old things, you're a brand new creature in Christ. It's as if spiritually you never existed before. You say, well, what do I mean spiritually? Well, the Bible says that we are spirit beings. We have a soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, and we live in this body. The real me is my spirit. How many of you have ever read any of Smith Wigglesworth stuff? Wigglesworth said, I'm a whole lot bigger. Sometimes it says a tenth. That just depends on what I've seen in his quote different places that he said. He said, I'm a whole lot bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. And most people say he was a pretty stout fellow on the outside that ever saw him. Why? Because he's talking about his spirit, you see. Well, if that change, why have we limited, and I'm going to ask this, why have we limited that change just to our spirit? God gave us his life there. Why then are we not affected in every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body? Well, we ask him to be born again. Okay? Well, every other area we have to ask. Now let's look here in John 15. Look at verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So he says, notice here, how is it? How is it? Do we write that check? How do we fill that check out, Jesus? For whatsoever we want, that we need? He said, okay, ask the Father in my name. So what name is that? Jesus, right? Ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Didn't say ask Jesus, said ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, there are times we can speak his name without going to the Father, and he said he would do it for us. But in prayer, we go to God the Father in the name of Jesus. All right? And there's a whole lot of teaching we can do on that about the name of Jesus. But he said, you shall ask the Father in my name, and that he may give it to you. Well, what's he said? He wants to give it to you. It's in your account. It belongs to you. In other words, Jesus already paid for it. We're joint heirs with him. We've made a deposit in our account, if you will, with God. And God wants to give it to you, but you got to come the way God said to come. So here it says, ask in my name. Now, very similar, John 16. Look at the next chapter here. John chapter 16 and verse 23. But notice here, he hasn't said he might. He hasn't said he'll think about it. He said he's going to give it to you. He's a giver. God's a giver. Amen. I mean, other thing, I don't know how I got this. I guess because I thought if you got on the prayer list, you're going to die. I thought God was some, old gray-haired dude with a long white beard sitting on his throne, peering out over, over the clouds down to earth with a big old, some type of container behind him with lightning bolts, just waiting for people to mess up because he was going to, because everything bad that happened, that was an act of God. So my idea of God was, he's mean. Don't get on his bad side, right? Well, how many of you know that's the lie of the devil? That's what the devil wants to think, make us think. Amen. That's how he is. That's not how God the Father is. Now here in John 16:23, in that day, this is after Jesus has risen again, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily. Now somebody said this one time, and I think it's good. In the King James Bible, when you see verily, verily, that'd be like us saying, I swear I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Okay? So verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever. Now notice here in both of these verses, verse 16 over in chapter 15, here in verse 23, that word whatsoever. And again, it's only limited. Now listen to me. The only limit on it is what is the will of God. And if you don't know what the will of God is, don't pray yet. You lack wisdom. You can ask for that. But where are you going to get that? You're going to get it from God's word. Over and over again, if you read from what Brother Higgins, you read what others that lived by faith and understood that over and over again, they say, find out what the Word of God says concerning your situation. Find out what the Word of God says belongs to you, and then go to God. But don't pray before that. Wait. A lot of times we think things are a big emergency right now, and they might be, but that's why we need to stay in the Word. But there's times you need to sit and go through what the Bible says. All right. He says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will. Everybody say he will. He will give it to you. He will. Why? Because he's a giver. He's love. Now, I want you to go back to 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to look at this verse here. Hallelujah. Our God is a giver. He is Jehovah Jireh, And please don't get in arguments with people. I got students all the time with, Jehovah, why don't you use the term Yahweh? It doesn't matter. Okay? I'm not going to argue with you over whether it's Jehovah or Yahweh or however. How many different ways is there to say Jesus? Depending on where I'm preaching, it's Jesus, Yeso, Yesu. All right? Depending on where I'm preaching around the world, but I'm saying Jesus and they're saying Yesu, and it's getting the same results, right? So we're going to argue about Jehovah. We're not going to argue about that kind of stuff, okay? At least I'm not arguing with you. You can argue amongst yourself if you want to, but don't bring it to me, because I'm probably just going to look at you like, really, really? That's you got to really got to worry about this. But he's the God who supplies all of our needs. He's not the God that is withholding when we have need. Right. Now here in verse 11, 1 Peter 4:11, talking about us ministering with the gift that God's given us, being a blessing to one another, being a good steward of the manifold grace of God. He says, if anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, do it as of the ability which God gives. Boy, I like that. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The ability that God gives. Isn't that awesome? Whatever it is that God has for you to do, amen, he's going to give you the ability to do it. Now, Paul told Timothy to stir up that gift. Stir it up. You can have the ability and it just lie dormant in you. But whether we serve or whether we speak, do it with the ability that God gives. You know, why? Because realize this, it's not me. It can't be me. It can't be me. Because if it is me, you see, then it's not God. Have you ever thought about this? There's a guy, he came to Jesus and he said, good teacher, called him Rabbi, good teacher. And Jesus stopped him. Now, how many of you believe Jesus is probably the best teacher of the Word of God that ever lived on this earth, right? But Jesus stopped him and said, wait a minute, why are you calling me good? There's none good but my Father, which is in heaven. And he would say, the Father in me, he does the work. I say what I hear my Father say. I'm doing what I see my Father. Why? So that God would be glorified in all things. See, it's the ability. So I know this. If it's good and I had something to do with it, it has to be God. Right? How many of you, we're not telling our story, but we might testify that we have a story. How many of you have already proved what you can do in and of yourself? And it wasn't good enough, was it? Amen. He is good, all right? But the ability which God gives. Now, I want you to turn back in your Bible to Romans chapter 8 and that verse 32. Let's read it one more time in the King James. And then I want to read it. There's a new translation out called the Passion Translation. And it's got some good stuff in it. You know, these modern translations, I think, in reading and studying in them, thank God for, you know, the Bible as we have it. And I'm not up here saying you have to have a King James Bible. I'm not saying that at all. But I noticed in some of the modern translations that we do have, their bias comes out. Their belief system comes out through it, what they say. Now, the Passion Translation, the translators of it, really, really strong in the area of the grace of God. Okay? And that's great. We all ought to be strong on the grace of God. Without God's grace, we'd be in trouble. But there's some things that are said that you can kind of, okay, better be careful with that. It might twist things a little bit, you know, and anything. I will say this concerning God's grace. Any message that tells you can live any way you want and you're okay with God, don't listen to it. All right? That's taking something that's good and putting it over in the ditch. All right. Have any of you ever tried to drive in the ditch? You ever gotten it over there? It's not good, is it? On the way here, out on the way here from Tulsa tonight, over on the eastbound side, there was a car flipped over on its back, on its top. Cars aren't supposed to be on their top. Well, what happened? They got off the road and they're sitting on top. So we want to stay out of those ditches. Well, let's read this. He said, he that spared not his own son, this is the King James, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, I want you to listen to this. This is the Passion Translation, and I think this is really enlightening here. For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his son. Now, think about this when I say that. His greatest treasure. So there's nothing else left that we could ask God for that measures up to what he's already given us. So if he's already given us the greatest, everything else to God is easy to him. In his thinking, I've already given you that. So you're asking me for what? And you think that's going to bother me? That's how, now listen to this. Listen to how he says, he goes on here and says this. And since God freely offered him as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. If he's not going to withhold what was the best, why would we think he's going to withhold anything else we ask for that we have need of? Amen. Now, I want you to start thinking. I'm going to challenge you to start thinking about not just, you know, famous scripture. You know, how many of you know some scriptures are famous, like John 3:16? How many of you know Psalm 23 is famous? Right? The Lord is my shepherd. Right? I shall not want. Want for what? Well, one translation is any good thing. Other translation, I shall not lack. I shall not want. It didn't limit what want was. Come on now. It didn't say, again, go back to my mentality growing up as far as, well, you know, God just knows what you need. He's only going to give you what you need. Well, I got a question for you. How come that guy, he needs that nice car and I need this old raggedy car? That's not okay. Isn't that being respect? No. God doesn't care what kind of car you have, what kind you want. And you think about this. If I'm going to God and I need a car, and I want that car, that's the kind of car I want. I want this. I'm not yours. I'm not talking about your car. I'm not a car that's available, okay? I'm not going to covet what you have. I'm going to be content with what I have. I'm happy with what I have. Thank God for it. But that's the one I want right there. Now, come on now. Because here's where most of us go, tilt. I can't. Oh, now, come on, tilt. Wait a minute now. You think it matters to God what kind of car you drive? The things that you have? No, as long as things don't have you. Are you still seeking for? If that car is going to keep you from seeking first the kingdom of God, then you shouldn't want it. Amen? You know, it's like I heard Brother Keith Moore say one time, you know, if money was no option, you had all the money you wanted, and all you want to do is go lay on the beach somewhere and sip, you know, alcoholic drinks, then you got a heart issue. Right? Okay, we should, no matter where we are, be seeking first the kingdom of God. But if he already gave you the thing that cost him the most, what makes us think he can't give us that and doesn't want us to have that? That's what I was looking at the other night that blew my mind. Again, I'm like, God, I have limited you in these areas. There's a couple different things. I've limited you, God, in these areas. And I'm not going to limit you anymore. Now, most of the stuff that I'm thinking about are ministry things. Okay, because I'm just geared that way. I'm thinking about, you know. But I'm not going to look at things any longer and say, well, you know, no, God wants us to have that. Why? Is it in the Word? It's in the Word. I found it in the Word. It's mine. You can have the same thing. Hallelujah. I found this out traveling the world. There is enough money out there to do anything you want to do. And more left on top of that. There's so much money in the world right now. There is so much riches in the world right now. Listen, God wants to take care. He wants to give us all things. Well, let me ask you this. I'm just not talking about things. What about peace of mind? What about health in your body? Right? What about a good night's sleep? Come on. God is a giver. But we've got to ask him for it and expect it. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you tonight as we've just begun to just barely look in your word concerning this characteristic of your nature, that you are a giver, God, because you love us. You love each and every person in this place. I thank you, Father God, that you demonstrated that love for us and that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for each of and every, to take our place, that he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God, your righteousness in him. Father, I thank you tonight. Thank you tonight. We give you praise and I give you honor in this place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you know, Pastor Hagin, he never likes to end a service. And of course, we're trained to be the same way without giving people an opportunity to get things right with God if they need to. So every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and tonight you want to make that decision, I want to pray for you. If you're in here tonight and you've known the Lord, but you know you're not living the way you should be living concerning those things, and you want to get things right with God, not that he's left you, but you've walked away from him, fellowship with him. You're like the prodigal son. I'm telling you, the Father's waiting to see you. He wants to run and embrace you once again. If you're tonight and you want prayer for that, then we want to do that, okay? Or if you're here tonight and you've never received what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, as Pastor Hagin says, not a church creed or doctrine, but the Bible, Acts chapter 2, they were all filled and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You want to receive that tonight, I want to pray for you also. If you're here tonight and you want prayer for any one of those things, first time accepting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, two, getting things right with God if you've walked out of fellowship with him, or three, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the biblical evidence of speaking in tongues, I just want you to raise your hand right where you are so I know to do that. I know to pray for you, okay? Hallelujah. Doesn't take a whole long time to look around, but that's all right. I see a hand. Yes, thank you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand up. If you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand, I want you to do one more thing. I want you to come on up here. And I want to pray for you, just like I said. Just come on right up here to me. I want to pray with you. Then, Greg, I'm going to send him with you. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Greg runs our prayer ministry there at the church in Tulsa. Come on. If you raised your hand, there was a hand that was raised. Come on. Be bold. Come on out. Praise the Lord. We're not going to. Hallelujah. Praise God. Awesome. Awesome. Hey, buddy. Branson, nice. Good to meet you. I'm going to do exactly what I said. Now, what you need, I don't have, but I can sure pray for it. Then I'm going to ask you to go with Greg. He's going to make sure that you get things exactly what you came for. Let's stretch your hands out this way. Father, we just thank you right now for Branson. What he came for, you're going to meet every one of his spiritual needs met, every need that he has. Father, you're a giver. You want to give Branson everything that you've provided for him in Jesus. Father, we thank you that he shall receive it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go with Greg real quick, and he'll take good care of you. All right? Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know we had some first-time guests also. First-time guests, are we going to be able to take those two? If you're a first-time guest, if you want to, those who were, I didn't know who they were, so you guys know who they are, right? You saw who they were. I want you to receive that gift that on behalf of Pastor Mrs. Hagin and Craig, behalf, thank you, there's a word there I was looking for, of Rhema Bible Church. We're so glad. Give our first-time guests a big hand clap tonight. So glad that you're here with us. Greg, want me to mention, there's a birthday card out there for Pastor Craig. It's coming up here in July. Ask that you go out there and sign that before you leave tonight. Write something in it or just whatever. Go in there, sign your name and write John 10:10 on it. He might know that verse. I'm not sure. But if you've ever heard Pastor Greg preach, you know what I'm talking about, all right? But other than that, okay? Praise the Lord. Well, I want to shake hands with a couple folks tonight. Tell them you're glad that they're at church tonight and you can be dismissed. God bless you.